It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Oh, yes, my friends, it's me again, good old Dr. Lou. George is still out of town. He's finishing up his vacation. He's going off to Nashville to attend the National Republican Committee's, summer meeting because he's part of the Committee for Minority Affairs, and that's what he's going to be doing. But George told me he will be back next week, so you can look forward to that. But I'll tell you what, tonight you are going to be very pleased. We have the state auditor, better known in our circles as the state agitator, Mr. Jim Ziegler.
Jim. Well, thank you for having me on the program, Dr. Lou.
Well,
and look forward to talking with all your tens of thousands of listeners out there.
Well, we'll see how many we have, but if we get a couple of calls, we'll certainly give you a chance at that. So, Jim, maybe some people listening to this show don't know that you have an exploratory campaign or exploratory committee looking into you running for governor. Do you want to just take a minute to kind of explain that?
Yes, Governor Ivey needs to be primaried. Now, that means we need to have a challenger run against her in the Republican primary representing the taxpaying public, not the Montgomery insiders, which are represented by Governor Ivey. We need a challenger who has fought against waste and mismanagement and corruption in Montgomery. I have set up an exploratory committee trying to become that challenger.
Well, Jim, all I can say is we wish you luck with that. We are certainly behind you 110%. And as you develop this exploratory committee, I know that you're looking at various issues that you can, bring out against Ivey. I've quit calling her Governor Ivey. I'm sorry. She's Ivey as far as I'm concerned. But the point here is that, many of us in the conservative movement cannot imagine that we are not going to have a choice against Ivey. I just think that it's so important for you to be able to move along the lines that you're moving, and we will do everything we can to put you in a position to where you can be that challenger in the primary. We'll see how this goes. So,
well, I appreciate it very much. We are getting an excellent response, an enthusiastic response. We've had just hundreds of citizens across the state to volunteer for the campaign.
Right.
And if that keeps up, we can turn that into troops on the ground. We can turn it into fundraising. We can turn it into people telling everyone they know that we have a clear-cut choice. We have Jim Ziegler and the taxpayers versus Ivey and the insiders.
Exactly right. Well, Jim, let's do this. I'd like to be able to look at Ivy's record and analyze it based on your analysis of what are the soft spots there. I think most conservatives can figure that out, but I think it's important for us to emphasize certain priorities to make sure that this message gets out and that people hear it. So why don't we start with some of the low-hanging fruit? What, in your opinion, is the lowest of the low-hanging fruit? I'll let you just choose your own way to go forward with this. I have a few thoughts about it, But let's go ahead and let you start with your first example of the low-hanging fruit that we really need to target Ivy over.
Well, that's easy. It's the gasoline tax increase. Governor Ivy did not run for re-election in 2018 on the issue that she was going to raise gasoline tax by 10 cents a gallon plus some other add-ons. But just as soon as she won the election, she made that her first priority. She called a special session to ram the gas tax through. She had interrogated the new Republican candidates for the open seats in the legislature to make sure that they would support her gas tax over the objections of their constituents that they're supposed to represent. And they bragged about, Governor Ivey bragged about doing that, that they did a Spanish Inquisition
right.
on the new candidates, and they wouldn't support them, put the money up, unless they would agree, regardless of what their constituents wanted, that they would vote for her gasoline tax. This was heavy-handed tactics, and it worked. Now, I was blessed to lead a citizen movement against the gas tax increase, and I developed Plan Z. Plan Z stood for Zero Gas Tax Increase, and it had 5 points to it, and I found the money available already to pay for the road and bridge needs without the gas tax increase, including, just as an example, $63 million a year, not one time, $63 million a year that would be siphoned out of the gas tax and diverted to other purposes other than the roads and bridges as it's supposed to be spent. If you took that $63 million and did a road bond issue with it, you could build the I-10 bridge, or you could fix the I-10 bayway. But nobody listened. They didn't listen to the taxpayers. They didn't listen to me. They didn't listen to the people. And they rammed the gas tax through. Now, I won't get a chance to remind voters about this because on October 1st, coming up, there's another 2 cents of that gas tax increase going on your gas bill. You'll see it at the pump.
Yeah, as the gas already goes way up.
That's right. And at the time they did this, they thought they'd get away with it. They, meaning Governor Ivey and the insiders in Montgomery, because it was 4 years to another election, or three and a half anyway.
Right.
And also at that time, the gasoline prices, we were still under the Trump economy and the Trump energy independence initiatives and the Trump pipelines and all of the free market things that President Trump did and tried to do.
Right.
And so the gasoline tax increase doesn't seem like such a factor at that time. But guess what? Joe Biden got elected president of the United States.
Exactly.
And he has gone backward on energy independence and on the cost of gasoline. It's gotten terribly worse.
Well, Jim. Jim, we have about a minute before our next commercial. Tell me just quickly.
I think that's the first one right there. See,
I agree.
Gas tax.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an issue.
Let me ask you this. Who in the state was one of the biggest supporters of this gas tax? Do you remember? Because my recollection is that the BCA wanted this very badly. Jim?
Let me double check that. I'm not sure, but go ahead with your point.
Well, the point is that just to inject another little bit of politics here, is that there is a Senate candidate who was the head of the BCA, and she supported this whole gas tax and wanted it badly. And I think that it's one of those things to keep in mind as we go forward in this 22, you know, campaign period. I think we need to keep reminding people of who the insiders are and what they wanted and why it wasn't all that good for everybody else sitting out there now paying over $3 a gallon at the pump. It's just that simple.
Well, yes, and we intend to remind the voters of the gas tax and how they did it. It was an underhanded, behind closed doors way.
Exactly.
They rammed this gas tax.
Okay. Jim, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'll talk to you in just a second. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, old Dr. Lou is back in George's place for one more week. But I'll tell you what, I know George is good, but I don't know if he's going to get too many better people like than Jim Ziegler to talk about political stuff as we are tonight. Jim, welcome back, and I know that we're trying to get through this analysis of, Ivy's policies that conservatives are just so fundamentally turned off on. So what is your number two issue when we start looking at Ivy as in terms of her sins against conservatism?
The second thing was the Ivy toll bridge proposal on I-10. Over Mobile Bay. It was a terribly flawed plan. The more we found out about her plan, the worse it got. It would have adversely affected over 15,000 families who live on one side of the bay and commute to work on the other, not to mention those who visit family and have medical treatments and go shopping on the other side. These two communities that often function as one community would have been split asunder by this toll plan. It was a terrible plan, and small businesses would have been hurt. So when Governor Ivey and ALDOT pushed this thing forward, I was told by the Montgomery insiders, it's a done deal. You can't stop it. There's nothing you can do about it. You'll be wasting your time. Fortunately, I did not listen.
Yes, quite fortunately. Thank goodness.
I started a group, and within 3 months, we had over 50,000 members, and we came up with a way to defeat the toll proposal in 2019, and it worked. And by the grace of God, we blocked the thing in 2019. We can do it again if necessary. Now, it looks like Governor Ivey and ALDOT are bound and determined to put a toll on the Bayway. Here they've come again, and they started out at first saying, well, it'll only be on trucks, which is problematic to me, that the trucks have to pass that cost on to the consumers.
Yeah, exactly.
Folks have so many taxes they pay already, and this might not even be legal to only tax the trucks. But now they're saying, well, that's not going to work. We're going to have a small toll on everybody. Well, you and I know if they put a small toll on, it'll be increased every year or two from now on. I don't trust ALDOT and the Ivy administration, and I think the citizens of Alabama don't trust them when it comes to something like a toll bridge. There is plenty of money. We just had this gas tax increase generating hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I thought that was for roads and bridges, but the Ivy administration wants to do a double taxation and put a toll tax on top of the gas tax. And so that is the second one. And that's an issue that doesn't just affect Mobile and Baldwin County. That was only going to be the next of the toll bridges. ALDOT has looked to put in one over the Tennessee River in Decatur and over the Coosa River in Shelby County. And so it's going to be an issue in this campaign. With Governor Ivey and ALDOT so strongly pushing tolls, the most effective way to prevent toll roads and bridges across Alabama is to elect Jim Ziegler as governor.
Well, I think we can certainly agree with that. There's no question that the issue of money is central to this. About 2 months ago, when the MPOs were starting to, you know, talk about getting back together, and it's a big kumbaya moment that they had, we sat down with Greg Alberton, senator who is in charge of the Senate Finance Committee. And I asked Greg, I said, has anyone from these two MPOs talked to you about financing a bridge? And he said, no. Now, this is the same Greg Alberton who in 2019 basically said, I've got the money to take care of this bridge without a toll. He told that to Ivy and them at the Grand Hotel in their 2019 summer meeting. So, you know, Jim, why is it that we continually are struggling over, you know, tolls and this and that? It just doesn't make sense to me unless these people are just determined to have their way, which, again, last time around, it was my way or the highway. So you'd think that they would have learned a lesson. I don't know if they have or not, but the toll is certainly a major problem for her down here. What's your next problem for her?
All right, the third one happened in 2020. Governor Ivey pushed through Amendment 1 through the legislature. It would have taken away your right to vote for the state school board and made them all appointed by the governor. Wow, what kind of a plan is that?
Yeah, well, it's a good one for her and her cronies.
My wife Jackie and I headed up the Vote No campaign in the statewide referendum on March 3rd of 2020. And we and a lot of other people were able to achieve a 75% no vote. It was overwhelming, the no vote that we got against the Ivey Amendment 1. It was a bad idea. I don't know who all is advising Governor Ivey. I know some of them, but they're giving her bad advice. Governor Ivey is not running that office. It's being run someone like Joe Biden by her chief of staff, Joe Bonner, and by other unelected individuals. And this is the reason some of these harebrained schemes are coming out, and I feel like if I hadn't risen up and blocked them, we'd be living under each one of these harebrained schemes.
Oh, that's for sure. And, you know, the interesting thing is that you were able to rally the grassroots movement to beat her. And I think that's just another example of what can be done. And I mean, look, calling it slaying Goliath, say it however you want to do it. The fact of the matter is that when you look at the record, it is hard to see any conservative voting for her. And this last issue that you just talked about is one of those things that's fundamental to small d democracy. How in the world does a conservative try to centralize all educational power along with other, you know, portions of power too? But the fact of the matter is, in this particular case, you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands, I think it's about 700,000 kids in the system, and we're not going to have school board members elected by parents to look after what's going on in the schools. I mean, it's, to my way of thinking, it just is, it is who Kay Ivey really is. If she bought into that, she'll buy into anything.
Well, she did, and she was on TV herself pushing a yes vote on Amendment 1. I was on TV, not nearly so much, pushing a no vote and explaining why. And that's the thing, that all of the big special interests in Montgomery and the big donors and the millions of dollars of donations will be behind Governor Ivey. But I've got something that she doesn't have, and I have these issues where I stood up to her administration, and we were able to block them.
Exactly.
Without those special interest groups, we the people blocked the toll bridge, blocked Amendment 1, and one more, the Ivey $3 billion prison scheme.
Well, let's hold off the prison scheme for just a minute, because we're going to be breaking for another, we have to have ads, okay? We have to have the news to keep everyone informed. But, you know, I mean, when you mention this about the grassroots movement, I think it is so significant to see the sources of the money that we were able to raise to put you on the radio. It was all small donations from different small groups. It seems to me that there's a lot more out there for you to plug into when and if you decide that you're going to run.
Well, there is, and part of the exploratory campaign is can we raise the money, the minimal amount of money, to get the message out? And that's perhaps the main thing that we're exploring, because the support and the enthusiasm is coming in. It's there.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jim, we've got to go to a little quick break here, but I'll be back in a short period of time, and we'll start talking a little bit more about the major sins of our friend Ivy. All right.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Yeah, once again, it's not George, but my time is running out. I think George will be back in a week or so. So, but let's be happy here that we've got someone like Jim Ziegler on the line. Jim, let's continue our discussion.
Well, yes, we've discussed the governor's gas tax increase and the underhanded way she did it in 2018, and we've discussed the Ivy toll bridge that she tried to put on Mobile Bay in 2019, and how 50,000 citizens and I rose up and blocked that. And we've discussed Amendment 1 in 2020. It's Governor Ivy's constitutional amendment proposal that would have taken away the right to vote for the state school board and made them all appointed by the governor. And my wife Jackie and I, by the grace of God, were able to lead a movement along with a lot of other people and blocked that.
Right.
Got a 75% no vote in the statewide referendum.
A glorious day.
Yes. And so we kept the right to vote for the school board and kept the parents and families with a voice. That brings us up to this year, 2021, and Governor Ivey's $3 billion prison scheme. This was an irresponsible proposal. It would have had we taxpayers paying rents for three prisons, three giant prisons, for a 30-year period of time. And we're talking about $100 million a year rent. At the end of that, we taxpayers would have owned equity in those prisons of
zero.
Zero, exactly zero. What kind of a business plan was that? And fortunately, we were able to block it. It was kind of unusual. We found all these flaws in the plan, legal flaws, political flaws, financial flaws, flaws in which it wasn't actually doing anything to address the problems that do exist in the prisons. And we got all that information to the investors who are going to put up the money and own the prisons and get that $3-plus billion in rents and then still own the prisons. We got all that information of the flaws to them, and they pulled out. They pulled completely out all of the investors. They voted with their dollars and cents, their hundreds of millions, their billions of dollars, and they voted no.
Exactly.
It was a bad plan.
Yep.
And so we killed the Ivy prison lease plan this year. Well, what's next? Well, we know she's going to try to put another toll bridge on Interstate 10, and even though I can show them the money now to fix the I-10 Bayway without a toll, but they're not listening. That's the problem with the Ivy and the insiders. They don't listen to me, you, the taxpaying public. They listen to each other. They listen to the other insiders in Montgomery. And we're going to put a stop to that.
Yeah, not soon enough, I guarantee you. But maybe it will be soon enough because they're going to run into the same problems that they had the last go-round with whether the toll or, in this case, of the prison. My understanding with the prison thing, aside from all the other issues, is that they didn't even have enough beds to take care of the prison population right now. And you know it's going to grow. So how in the world could they even think that something that harebrained was going to sell anywhere?
Well, it wasn't. And thankfully, the investors saw it. Those guys don't mess around. I mean, when you're putting in hundreds of millions of dollars into a plan, they don't care that it's KIV and the insiders' plans. They want to see the facts, and we
yeah.
got them. And we blocked the prison plan.
Well, you know, Jim, just to think about that for a second, because when they were going through this whole business with the P3 project for the toll bridge, I know that Kevin Spriggs and I sat down and Kevin drafted letters to those very investors warning them of exactly what was going to happen and that there was not going to be any toll. So I think that we scared some of those people away, but it was really kind of lanyap because what ends up happening was that the MPO killed the project. So in any way, I think that, you know, that just shows, though, that the influence of the grassroots is quite real if the grassroots moves in a certain direction under good leadership like you have provided.
Well, I appreciate that, and of course, the main thing we need people to do now is to get involved. And they can get involved basically in two ways. One, by joining my Facebook group, Jim Ziegler for Governor Exploratory Campaign. If you put that up on Facebook, it'll pull us up and you can join the group. The other is you can make a donation. We have a GoFundMe page, and it sends 100% of the proceeds to my campaign. We've got 51,000 members in one of our citizen groups and essentially 30,000 in another one. If we could get each one of those people to donate $20 or $50 each,
sure,
and to ask everybody they know to donate,
right,
we'd have plenty of money to get the message out, plenty. And so I want to ask everybody to go online. You can Google GoFundMe and then Ziegler for Governor, bingo. It brings it up right there, and you can make your donation, or it's got an address to mail your check.
Well, Jim,
like,
yeah, I know that's exactly a critical aspect of the grassroots movement. We have to be the ones who are going to fund you because you're not going to have the insider big money from the BCA and Alpha and all the rest of those people. But let me ask you this. Let's kind of just transition for a second, and we'll finish it up at our last segment. But I'd like to just throw this out. You've been very good at stopping things, the toll, the Amendment 1, the prison, okay? Let's start talking about some of the positive things that you have on the plate that if you're governor, you're going to do. Why don't we just take one, for example, And before we have our next break and get into it, then maybe we could wrap it up with a couple more if possible. So you've got about 2 minutes before we have a break.
Every time I get involved in feeling the need to block something that the government's doing, I also look at the underlying problem and see, is there a way to address that problem with less money, more effectiveness? And there is. On the first one that I did, the gasoline tax, the only one that was unsuccessful, I didn't get it blocked. And I had a five-point plan, Plan Z, to build the roads and bridges and to provide all the money we need without the gas tax increase. And I mentioned just one of the provisions was $63 million a year I found being siphoned out of the road and bridge money and spent on other things. Now, we stopped that, and we'll go a long way. But that's just one. Another thing is that I will do a complete management audit of ALDOT, the Alabama Department of Transportation. They waste millions of dollars a year, and I want an independent self-management audit about how the thing is organized, how the money is being spent, how it could be spent better. And one thing I want to do, in Mobile and Baldwin County, we provide a lot of the tax revenue, and we send to Montgomery. We don't get it back. And I want to make sure that since the tourists are coming to Baldwin and Mobile counties, that we have the infrastructure to handle those tourists paid for out of our taxes and not spend all our taxes in other parts of the state. We're going to stop that.
I think that's a great idea. We'll pick up on a couple of more of your plans. So once we get finished with this commercial, thank you again, Jim. Great talking to you.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Okay, not quite George Williams. He'll be here next week. But listen, I've got a very, very important caller on the line, Miss Kay Day. Miss Kay is our chapter president for the Mobile chapter of Common Sense Campaign. Kay, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, Lou.
Well, listen, I'm going to have you with Jim Ziegler in just a second here. So, Jim and Kay, get together,
hey,
ask your question.
Kay and Dr. Lou.
Okay, I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Good. Well, I'm glad you came on the program. We've been having a lot of issues.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I can hear you,
so I'll just say that I've known Jim for years. Before he was in office, a candidate, and he's always fought for the people of Alabama and for what's right. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that if Jim gets in as governor, you're talking about tolls, taxes, not breaking the Constitution, critical race theory, common core, those things. I know where Jim stands. And if Alabama doesn't recognize what's happening in the state of Alabama, we will become just like Washington. And we see that happening. But I am telling you, it is crucial that we get behind Jim, because we have seen what Jim has done already, standing up against the insiders. And he will do it regardless of what happens, because Jim will do the right thing for the people of Alabama. And I cannot express enough, Lou and Jim, how important this is to get Jim in. I just tell everybody, listen, if you like what's going on in Washington, just leave it like it is. But you know what Jim has done, you know what he does do and has done, and he's proven that he loves Alabama, he loves our people, And I just encourage everyone to realize, you know, where we're at in this day and time and what we need to do, and get behind Jim and donate. Lou, I know you say donate, but if you could do that slow and tell them how important that is, if everybody just gave the money, then we can go to work. And, you know, Jim's got to have that money. He's got to have it. The other side, we know it's no problem for them, but you got to donate, and we got to get Jim in, because that's our great hope. And Jim's a Christian man. I stand behind him 100%, and I can't tell people enough how crucial it is to get Jim in.
Well, Kay, thank you so much for calling in, and I think that, Jim, if you want to, you know, wrap it up with Kay, that's our advertisement right there. And I think that we're going to use Kay's voice as much as we can.
Well, I think it will be good. She does have a tremendous influence in South Mobile County and elsewhere. And just you watch the returns come in from South Mobile County and see what happens. It's the rest of the state that I'm worried about.
Well, but you know what? Even in the rest of the state, Jim, with all the advertisement that we were able to get money for you to run against the, you know, the Amendment 1 and the gas tax, people up there know you, and you've already won two elections from there, two statewide elections. So I think that people are underestimating, you know, how strong you really are and how much these issues are going to resonate with the people of Alabama, who are sick of the insiders. And that's what we've been fighting with Common Core. All these inside people paying off the big money, the BCA, making sure that we keep, you know, Common Core. And now we're at the bottom of the education heap, which is, you know, that's a good point to raise right here. So we have a few minutes left. Why don't you just mention a little bit about where you think Kay Ivey has done, what she has done to hurt Alabama's education since she's a lieutenant governor and governor? She's done nothing about Common Core.
Well, she has not. And also, about the time that Governor Ivey was going in 2011 as lieutenant governor, Alabama had, up until right before then, had a real good track record and improvements in the test scores and other parts of the education statistics, and particularly the math. We were making the most improvements that we had ever made, but it wasn't broke, so they fixed it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, they fixed it. They fixed it with the Common Core math, and it has gone downhill ever since. Just like the prepaid college tuition program that she was in charge of. And it went down, 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 and lost substantially all the money necessary to pay full for the tuitions of the families, 50,000 of us,
right,
including me, who had paid for full tuitions, and we didn't get it. And we're paying tax dollars for full education. We're not getting it. They've had every warning sign to do something about this Common Core math, and they haven't done it. So any idea of, well, if we just give her four more years, no. You can tell actions speak louder than words, and there hasn't been action on the school system in a lot of ways. And money can't be used as an excuse anymore. We have the largest.
They've had the three largest budgets in the last 3 years ever.
And so it's a poor management. It's clinging to things that don't work, and not using common sense in the education system. So this will be an issue at the proper time during the 9.5 months of the campaign.
Well, Jim, we have about 2 minutes to go, so why don't we transition to perhaps repeating some of the things you mentioned in terms of how people can get in touch with you, how, as Kay says, how they can donate to you so that you will have a viable candidacy.
Okay. Two important things. One is to join our Facebook groups so that you can be informed whenever we're having functions and calls to action. And if you can go on Facebook to Block the Tolls, Support Accountability. We have broadened the issue of the Facebook page from, it's no longer just the tolls, it's also Support Accountability and government.
Right.
Block the Tolls, Support Accountability. And then on that page, it will give you a link to our GoFundMe account to make a donation. And you can just click on it. You can make the donation there with a credit card or debit card, or it's got the address if you'd rather mail your check in. And not only do we need each person's contribution, but we need them asking other people to help.
Exactly.
Spreading the word. If every person would donate and then ask everybody else they know who's concerned with these issues, we'd have the money to get the message out.
Well, Jim, I can tell you that you're going to have a fired-up group of people over the next few months to get enough money to put you in a position to where you can make a reasonable decision to go forward with your candidacy. I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. God bless you and your lovely wife, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Thank you again.
Thank you, Dr. Lou.
All right, folks. I'm signing off, and George will be back next week. All right. Thank you all. God bless you, and God bless America.